Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Michael here. Today, Rick and I want to introduce you to another Stack podcast we think you'll really enjoy, The Luke and Pete Show. It's an outrageous podcast where Luke Moore and Pete Donaldson discuss just about anything, from ancient history to UFOs. Here's a recent episode which includes a story about Pete's near-death experience. Check it out, and if you enjoy it, search The Luke and Pete Show and subscribe for new episodes every Monday and Thursday.
All right, it's Luke and Pete Show o'clock, baby. It is Monday, 6th of February. My name is Pete Donaldson, and I'm joined by Mr. Lukey Moore. Lukey Pukey Moore. You all right, mate?
How's it going? How's it going, everyone?
I'm good. You sound...
Fire alarm stopped going off now.
It subsided. I mean, it was on for 2 weeks. Didn't stop for 2 weeks. It was,
and no one burned. What have we learned?
Just don't listen to fire alarms. I've taken all the smoke alarms out of my house.
Because they literally can't handle your smoke.
Because they were beeping away. Beep, beep, beep every now and again. And if it lost power, which for some reason a lot of the wires in my house do, they would beep, beep, beep. And the neighbours got annoyed, so I removed them. And I've not seen fit to put them back. And for me, that's a risk because I'm always setting fire to stuff.
Yeah. If someone said to me, which of the people you know would most benefit from a smoke alarm in their house, I'd have you quite near the top of the list. I would. I'll be honest with
next
you.
Next to Arson Joe. Yeah. Next to Chemical Spill Brian.
Yeah. Johnny Arson, probably be top.
Yeah, definitely.
And then,
definitely.
Yeah. But, Peter, we have to let people behind the curtain a little bit and say that...
Like the fire retardant curtain.
Yeah, exactly. We pre-wrecked a couple of episodes, which in the industry, we say pre-wrecked because we're really cool and it's like a secret society. What that means is we recorded some episodes in advance because young Peter here, young little Petey Pie... Little Petey Poo, little Petals, Petey Poppers, went to Costa Rica on holiday and he's just got back. And let me tell you now, listeners, I am in a very, very enviable position because I can see just how tanned his larger than average forehead is.
You were just commenting on the curvature of my forehead. Have you got into that? Is it phrenology where you study the shapes of the head? You got
I don't little, like people with small heads.
Those little you are obsessed with that. Those little Chinese kind of statues with the heads with the little demarcations written on them in pen. Like what is good for the goose, good for the gander, good for the feet? I don't know. I don't know what's going
this
on.
This one, this part is, and this part is about like patience.
Sexiness. Yeah, patience.
And this part is
sexiness.
Like
how
sexy you are.
Does that mean like what part of the brain it is, or how bumpy your head is? Is that how that kind of works?
I'll be honest. I think they've made it all up. I think
they have made it all up.
Yeah, like, I got my hair cut earlier today, and my hairdresser, who was lovely,
screamed.
But you know, in the words of Lance Stater from Detectorist, I've spent the majority of my life trying to avoid the mystical, and she is a bit more spiritual than I'm used to.
Right.
So she tells me a lot of things. One of the things that she is quite into is the old head thing.
Okay.
She'll give you a head massage when she's washing your hair, which is very nice. I'm very grateful to receive that. I know you hate that kind of thing, but I quite like it. But you do get, and I'm going to use this under advice because I don't want to come across as disrespectful, because I am a very appreciative patron of that hair salon. But it is mumbo jumbo. And I have to put up with it. Every time I get my hair cut. So about it than I would like.
Is it one of those kind of interests that is kind of progressing? Is she getting into more and more different stuff? Like, I don't know, tea, reading, tea leaves, those mood rings you used to see in the 90s. Is it evolving every time, or is it the same thing over and over again? Could you see her getting more and more extreme, more into conspiracy theories possibly?
Yeah.
More of that business.
She put in the jet fuel from September 11 on my hair.
Yeah, from tea leaves to tea party.
What I don't get is, why are they into all of it?
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd think that you would specialise in, like, well, I think if you're into just one of the kind of mystical things, I think it's a bit rich to sort of go, well, I don't believe in tea leaves, but I do believe in Ouija boards.
So you have to.
You're in for a penny and for a pound, I think. You've got to be up for one of those things.
You've got your Facebook photo is now a sort of sepia drawing of a wolf howling at a full moon.
Paris.
With respect the troops.
Yeah, respect the troops. Don't tread on me.
But Peter, anyway, listen, you went on holiday. People are desperate to know whether you saw another pear in the ocean.
Didn't see a pear in the ocean. It's, you know what? I saw it was a great holiday with many great memories from the San Miguel, some place in Costa Rica we went to that had a big national park. So I saw a great many sloths and iguanas and spiders and monkeys running around. And from our little hotel room, we saw loads of squirrel monkeys running around.
Wow,
and
cool.
And it was just fucking brilliant from start to finish. I did almost die, though.
All right.
In the sea.
Shit.
And and the further away from it, the more comfortable I am talking about it, but I'm still probably not as comfortable as I should be talking about it on the Luke and Pete show. A lifeguard helped me out of the water. Like, he literally...
What happened?
He gave me his little red float, and I floated out, and I swum out of the big waves.
You got Hasselhoffed.
Just big fucking waves, man. Just I was having a lovely time, and I was... And my last words would have been to Sarah, I found a new way to swim through a wave, Sarah. And I ran in and swam. They're quite big waves out there. And I'm not an amazing swimmer, as you'll find out. But the lifeguard was sort of like started whistling. Choot, choot. Like, come back to sea, come back to shore. And I
How
was like,
deep were you? How deep was the water?
I mean, I couldn't touch the floor, so your guess is any as good as mine.
At least 4'11" deep.
But these waves were like fucking 10-foot waves. They were big old boys. And I'm not familiar with big old boy waves, and I'm not a surfer, and I'm not sort of... And so the guy's sort of whistling, toot, 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 and I was like, what does he want? He's going, come back to the
What does
shore.
Whistle mean? Does whistle mean sweet moves?
Does whistle mean American badass? Does whistle mean you're awesome?
And you were spluttering, saying, the moment I dive into the wave, put the Limp Bizkit, press play on the Limp Bizkit CD.
Yeah.
But time it. So when I dive in, just... Press play on break stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Durr, durr. It's just one of those days when he just went, as the first wave goes over. But these big fucking waves were like absolutely massive, like three times the size of me. They were huge. And I just thought, hey, it's, you know, there's lifeguards, maybe it was cool. But he's whistling, he's going, come back. And I suddenly realised I couldn't get back, Luke.
Shit.
I couldn't get back. So I was like, swimming. I mean, I wasn't drowning immediately. I just couldn't.
Did you panic?
Yeah, massively. Yeah, I was like, fuck. Like, I can't swim back now. And the guy was already kind of coming out. And so he gave me his floaty float and we got back. So, I mean, legitimately saved my life. I could have floated a bit longer, I think. But I mean, where I would have ended up, I don't know. But like, I was just absolutely fucking horrific from start to finish.
What did you do after that? Were you in shock for a bit?
The thing that annoyed me most, Luke, was the guy was fucking gorgeous.
Like, yeah, big muscles.
Massive muscles. Big muscles. He was so beautiful. His name was Abraham, and he was a fucking dude. And like, you know, I owe him everything. Like,
I mean, you put this on purpose because he would come over.
I mean, that's what the lady in the lounger next to us said afterwards. It's like, I love that guy. I'm following him on Instagram. I've sent pictures of him to all my ladies. This woman was obsessed with this guy, and she said that she'd been there for 3 weeks, and like they'd seen countless times where the man had to jump in and take someone out.
Yeah, but she's making you feel better then, isn't she?
Well, later we googled that beach, and a lot of people have died this year on that beach doing
really?
The exact same. I'm like, I mean, maybe just don't allow us to swim, or just, you know, just don't allow us to swim on
is
the
there
thing.
No notice or sign or anything up?
There was no signs that said like riptides or anything. But I think that's what I was experiencing. But it was just fucking horrific from start to finish. But the further away I get from it, the more I kind of can talk about it. But like the day after, I was like, yeah, I'm not talking about that to anyone. But so now I'm a bit more relaxed about it. But it was just like, yeah, I think with anything like that, like I've had a few sort of near-death kind of experiences, but none of them have lasted for a quarter of an hour. You know, none of them lasted for 10. Well, none of them lasted for like 5 minutes. It felt like three hours, but like none of them lasted. Like you go to step out and someone pulls your arm, like in front of a car or something. And it's a little kind of like, oh, a little mini kind of fuck hell. But this was like fucking 10 minutes, and I was like, oh Jesus Christ! Like I was just bobbing around, going, oh dear. And the waves were
how far was the lifeguard from you then? Like, how far did he have to come to get you?
I don't know. I think the tide was out, so it was kind of like the water was kind of. What was pulling out, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can swim and I can get places, but it was, and I wasn't dicking about. That's the thing. Like, you know me, I'm a dick and I dick about, but like, I didn't feel particularly guilty about getting into the situation because it was just like, he started whistling. I was like, oh fuck, I can't get back. And then, so he had to come in and give me, and he was a big muscle guy. And even he was, when he got to me, he gave us a good 5 minutes shouting at in the water. And I'm like, can we just get to the fucking beach and then you can shout at me?
Do this later.
Can we do this later? He was like, rah! He was like shouting at me. And I was like, he said, do you not hear the whistle? I was like, yeah, I could hear the whistle. But when you're whistling, I couldn't get back. So can we have this argument on the beach rather than the trial in the sea, please? Because you are a big muscle man. And I can tell that little swim is taken out of you as well. So let's just chill out. Let's just take our second.
It's his fault.
His fault. So
you're taking the moral high ground while drowning.
I know. Yeah, dickhead, massive dickhead. But I couldn't.
Would you have been more or less embarrassed if I had to save you?
No, because then it would be great content that both of us could get involved in. But now it's just me relating about a hunky Baywatch style lifeguard.
I had that to rescue you, I think I would have been aroused.
Yeah.
Afterwards.
Yeah. It was pretty, sitting there, woman came over and said, we were praying for you. And I was like, I didn't need that.
Oh, Jesus, really? Sarah say? What was Sarah doing in all this?
She was a consummate pro, as she always is in situations like that. But I fear this will come up in an argument later in life. Because, let's say, I did put her through the ringer a bit. But
it sounds really
horrific.
Frightening. I was quite scared hearing the story, to be honest.
It's horrible. And I didn't think I was going to talk about it on here because I was genuinely fucking, like, I mean, and I can't thank the lad enough because he just straight out there. I mean, I wouldn't have known that I was in trouble until he told me I was in trouble. And I was like, well, I don't know where I fucking am. Oh, dear.
Yeah. How bad would that have been if there was like no lifeguard or there were no one around? I mean, but that would have
I generally don't, there were big waves, and like I think the last bloke who drowned was like a rugby player. Like, I know they're big guys, but I mean, you'd imagine there's some level of fitness there. But it's killed a lot of people. But I didn't know. Like, they could have put a sign up saying, you know what, Pete, this is probably bit primo for you, mate. Just stay in the kiddie pool.
Based on the Instagram post I saw, you're having a lovely time.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make for good Instagram posts. But there's a lovely. The last video of me was me pointing at the wave and running into the sea.
Yeah.
And it was.
We'd have been devastated if we had lost you, Pete. I mean, everyone listening to this would have been absolutely devastated. I speak on behalf of the whole community, I think, when I say we're not ready to lose you just yet, mate.
No, it was a difficult afternoon, but it was.
Did you get upset?
You what?
Did you get upset?
No, but maybe, again, later in life, I'll...
Probably internalised it.
Probably internalised it. Just keeping it.
keep it bottled down.
Bottled up. But yeah, it was I owe him a hell of a lot, this bloke. But
I would say there was two
lifeguards, and one of them was like my level handsome, and I'm just saying I would have preferred that one. Because the
image... how you get more handsome by saving more and more people. It's like a Faustian pact.
Yeah, but apparently, like every day somebody has to be fucking pulled out, and it was my turn that day. So, and I wasn't even dicking about. I was just having a lovely swim in the big waves.
I don't think you should blame yourself. I think it's a perfectly understandable mistake, and we're all very happy that you're safe on the land. Do you think it's going to affect you swimming in the sea in the future?
I sort of said the next day, if I don't go back in the sea. Pretty soon I'll probably not be able to handle it. So I went in the sea the next day, and
Abraham.
A little.
I've got my smaller shorts on.
It was a different sea, but I was a little bit more timid, let's say.
I don't like this particular sea. Shall we go to a different sea?
Should we go to a different sea? I don't like the Pacific. Shall we try?
Yeah.
Do you know what? The channel?
When I was in Australia years and years, 20 years ago, I was swimming on a beach on the east coast of Australia. And at one point I was in a stretch of water. It was about waist high. Mm. And so it wasn't even like I needed to swim. I was just walking around and whatever. And I was in much better nick then than I am now.
Yeah.
And it, honestly, it took me, I would say, all of my energy to walk back in about 25 meters because the rip was so strong.
Yeah.
And I promise you now, if I had to swim it, and I actually am quite a good swimmer. Mm. It's in my blood. My dad was like a county swimmer. I'm naturally quite good at swimming. It's just that I'm not really physically fit at the moment, but generally as a swimmer, I'm okay. I can do all the main strokes. I can do all the shit that you'd see a proper swimmer doing. Mm. And if I had to swim that, I would never have made it in. It was only because I could walk here that I could get in.
Yeah.
And I actually frightened myself a little bit because it is terrifying because the sea's fucking massive and angry. Yeah. And it was nowhere near what you've been through there. So I can only imagine how awful that would have felt like at the time.
I sort of get the feeling that I should have gone maybe further back rather than... I was just right where all the waves were breaking. But they were breaking... fucking 10 foot high, and I'm obviously 4 foot three, and so like it was kind of just,
and you get spun up like a washing machine
just,
as well.
I was just like fucking, yeah. I was rotating, I was just like, I was upside down, I was like, yeah, that's this doesn't feel good.
But, it's not great. So it's in like a calmer water. I think it is the panic of the shock of the cold or the panic that gets people because you waste a lot of energy doing that. Yeah. That's why they say you just float and go with it as much as you can.
Yeah.
And trust that you'll be saved. Like float to survive is what the RNLI say. So like. Obviously, you didn't have that option in that situation because it sounded pretty tempestuous, but bloody hell, mate.
Huge. But
I wonder what I was doing at that exact moment, because you're 5 hours behind.
So it's about 2 o'clock, I think. So yeah, 2 o'clock. So you're probably settling down, watching the last
one. I was probably watching an episode of Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares while cooking dinner.
Yeah.
And that's the tapestry of life, isn't it?
Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, a good time was had by all. But other than nearly dying... all good.
So just rank these things in order. So... Mm. The pina coladas, the hotel, the looking at the tamarind monkeys, and then coming face to face with the prospect of death. Where would you put those in? Like,
I would sort of go tamarinds. That's a five on the. That's an eight on the scale. Recommended. Nearly drowning. That's a two because at least I saw Hunky Abraham.
But some people get quite exhilarated after that.
Oh, what? They just suddenly decide to...
Well, no, they feel
like or something. Yeah,
that right. They get a big rush of serotonin because they've, you know... No.
Yeah. I want to drive home now, and then drove home for an hour. You know, straight after you've got a lot of water in your lungs and stomach, you just want to get in the car, don't you, and feel the open road.
Oh, so at least it's seasoned. Salty and delicious.
salty lungs. I think less good than that was running around San Jose... trying to find tampons. So, like, they don't seem to do tampons in Costa Rica. They're very into the towel scene, the thingamajig scene. So the things I had to do that holiday, that very much ranks even lower than drowning, because that was a right pain, in the arse, so to speak.
Well, listen, it sounds like you had a busy, varied
busy.
Time.
Yeah, not gonna...
Do you feel more relaxed or less?
I'm slightly more tanned. By the end of the holiday, I was chilled out again. But yeah,
I did. But when I saw your face and I saw how tanned your face was, I now know that's probably just the
bruise.
It's just the puseness of the stress you've been under.
Horrible.
I do feel for you. I know it feels like it's coming across like I'm taking the piss, but.
No, but that's what the show's all about, and you know, these things happen. It was lucky that someone alerted me to the fact that I was in lots of trouble, and then saved me. So yeah, Jesus Christ.
I would also say that though, people who are fans of these kind of two white men talking to each other podcasts, which we did first, by the way, does anyone on those other shows show the kind of commitment that you're showing to content by? You know, happily and willingly, almost dying to get 20 minutes out of it.
It's a crowded marketplace, Luke. You know, we've got to find new ways to tell our stories, and we need to sort of up the ante a little bit. So, yeah.
We spent longer talking about it than the actual incident.
It fucking felt like 3 hours, I tell you what. Fuck.
Did your life flash before your eyes?
No, I was too busy going, oh, God. Oh, dear. He's taking his time. Why was he hurry up with his float?
You didn't like shit your pants or anything, did you?
No, but I mean that might have helped. I could have used it as a flotation device, floated away.
I just think that, you know,
might have oil I've been eating.
Almost drowning is kind of Abraham's bread and butter. Mm. But if you drop a turd in your pants, I think he probably just thinks, "Come on,
get it together, mate."
And you're like, "I just had a coffee.
He'd probably turn back. I had just eaten a massive sandwich." And they do say, as soon as you've eaten a massive sandwich, you get right in the sea.
I mean, that is idiotic. Don't do that. That I could have told you that. That's basic.
Oh, dear.
Because what happens is your body uses a lot of its energy to digest the food.
Yeah, I felt it.
So you start to run out of energy a lot quicker if you do that.
I think also, I just
is that helpful
I just don't know big wave technique. And it seemed to be that I could have got out with it just by swimming perpendicular to the shore. You know what I mean? Like, rather than try and attack the weight, like the pulling of the riptide or whatever, head on. I think that probably would have been a good technique. But I don't fucking know. I'm never in the sea.
Why are you continually trying to tame Earth's fundamental element? Just stay out of it.
Take the fire alarms away. Get in the sea. Yes, lovely.
Stay out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, he chucked himself in a fire the other day.
Yeah. But I hope I'm not. I hope I'm not belittling it. I'm just sort of in a position where I can't talk
about it.
And it was fucking. It was rough, and it's something happened. And again, it's just great content. You know, it's just great.
That's what I'm most happy about.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think I would probably get, if you had actually died, I'm not sure how many episodes I would have got.
I think like a little memorial. Like, we got Rory to cut up a few old episodes of me talking about poos and wees and boobies and stuff, and
yeah,
you know, that's my legacy, really.
And move on.
Yeah, I think. Yeah.
I'm annoyed that you've opened with this because I don't really know of anything else that seems like it'll be worth talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, we're roughly in time for the ad break. We'll come back after.
I'm pleased
the
to have you
break,
back. Yeah? Let's have an ad break to kind of calm down a bit. It's obviously come as a shock to me. And then the other side of it, maybe we'll think of something else to talk about, Pete. How about that?
All right, then. Cool.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
I'm drowning in ads. Money coming in. It's the Luca Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, safe with my 2 feet on land. And Lucky Moore is with me. How are you doing, Lucky Moore?
Can we do a special guest episode with Abraham?
With Abraham.
I'd love
he's
to hear
probably
what
still fucking angry. He was so angry at me.
Nah, he'd probably be like, yeah, it's, the water's about probably 2 feet deep.
It probably
really
was.
Calm
I
day.
Wouldn't have known.
Yeah,
good
really
God.
Calm day. He was actually the swimming pool. And... I just the wave machine was on.
I don't really know what to. I just feel very thankful that he was there and his buddy, with his whistle. And I was just glad he was there. I'm just finding
Bless
it very
Pete.
Hard to deal with the emotions.
I am affected
me.
By this. I think our listeners will, you know, share in your distress and share in your shock. And we hope you can at some point rebuild and. Hopefully enjoy life in the sea again. Maybe start off small with something like Southend, you know.
Yeah, I can deal. I'm all right in the sea. I like the sea.
Sound like you are, though. The last 20 minutes sounds like you're fucking not all right
if
in
I'd
the
had,
sea.
If I'd
and
had
if
my
anything,
little...
you've not learned a lesson
the
here.
The day before, I was in equivalent waves on a boogie board. If I'd had my boogie board with me, I would have been all right. I rented a boogie board.
As he's dragging you in, I hope you weren't screaming, I'm all right in the sea. I'm all right
in the sea. You got me on a bad day, Abraham.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very biblical. Being saved from the sea by a man called Abraham. It's good stuff.
It happens to the best of us, mate. Yeah. All right, listen, I'm sure many of our listeners have got similar experiences of trying to tame what is a cruel mistress in the shape of the ocean. So if you have, hello@lukeandpeacher.com. We'd love to hear from you. In fact, because we've had a little break with the pre-records, we've got quite a lot of good emails, and we'll try and get through some of them at some point. I feel bad that the only notes I've got for today's show are three words, and it's just Pete's holiday ??
Yeah.
Now I feel like I've been frivolous.
Well, I mean, I would say that I wasn't even planning on talking about this because it was a big deal for a long time.
Yeah.
And then I came to the show and I was like, oh, fuck it, my life's a open book.
I think you are. I think it's a great credit to you. It's authentic. It's
no,
good stuff.
I just don't plan any other content, Luke. That's why. I've got to tell you about my life because I haven't found any emails.
So basically, your laziness will trump any kind of trauma.
Correct. Yeah.
That's good to know. Exactly. That is good to know. Yeah. Speaking of which, you know, I did just say the word email, so I am going to drop an email in.
Yeah.
Producer Rory is keen for us to get through some because I think he thinks that people email in and we don't read them out and people get deterred, which I think is probably fair enough.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, Peter, I'm going to change the subject somewhat.
Okay.
And bring an email to the fore. Mm-hmm. So do you want bin men or do you want school bullying or do you want Wayfair?
Wayfair.
Remember Wayfair? I had that problem with Wayfair, trying to get money back from me.
Wayfair, please. I think I liked the emails about Wayfair before.
Okay. Hi, Luke and Pete. This is from Tom in Vancouver. He says, interesting to hear your story about Wayfair. I mean, people will probably remember that story. And we had a few people follow up saying they're terrible. Do you remember the guy had like different parts of a sofa scent and then was told
that's
that
like, the middle
they were
part of the sofa, but not the other part of the sofa.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's good stuff.
So Tom says, I ordered a flat pack piece of furniture from Wayfair a year or so ago. When I opened it up, the little plastic bag containing the nuts and screws was itself inside a tatty old glove. With a picture of like a really old looking glove.
Oh, like a latex kind of...
Not even latex, mate. It's woolen. It's a woolen right-handed glove.
I mean, so that's one of those kind of gloves that you get in Wickes. You know, like the protective but warm, but
yeah,
like they're workman's gloves, but they've put it...
it looks like a weird threat. Like, you know, in The Godfather when he gets sent like a bulletproof vest with a fish in it?
Right,
like,
okay.
It feels like what it's almost like, yeah, the horse head in the bed.
Yeah.
If Wayfair sends you a single right-handed glove, what does that mean? Because back in, I don't know, medieval times, throwing down a gauntlet, which is basically a metal glove, was like a challenge, wasn't it?
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's almost
yeah.
like they're saying, you'll never put this furniture
you'll
together.
You'll never put this together, yeah. It's kind of, if... It's not a cheap glove. It's like, I'd say that's in the £4 tool station, because in tool station they always have them on display as you go in, different kind of like levels of like slightly semi disposable gloves, and that's in the £4 £6 range. That's a decent glove.
You know
glove.
What? It's a kind of glove that you see supermarket workers using when they're unpacking like fresh stock.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I used to have a job at Asda stacking the shelves. When my friend who works in the fruit and veg thing used to ping fruit and veg at me every time I went back out into the warehouse. I used to be on the milk and the dairy, and the dairy items, obviously it's these plastic packets of butter basically. So you know like your Common or Garden Lurpak or your Vitalite or your Clover, right? This the plastic lid, they are really sharp.
Oh yes,
if you're handling
they are,
them. I used to cut myself like paper cuts all the time, and I never got offered gloves once. But now everyone who works in there seems to have gloves. It looks like one of those kind of gloves. I don't know why Wayfair have sent them. It's not even like someone's disregarded a pair of gloves by accident, like a surgeon leaving a scalpel in someone's wound. It's one glove. It seems very, very odd, and yeah. I think it means it marks a Wayfair out, as Tom says, as a weird company to be dealing with.
At least you know that a human has touched your sofa. That's all I'm saying.
Like could be, flat, could be a yeah. robot glove.
Could be a robot's glove. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
Peter, I just want to squeeze one more email in before we go, and I'll do the bin man one.
I tried to get Sarah to take a picture of some bin men in Costa Rica who were riding on the back of their bin lorry.
Oh, great!
And as
to
soon
see.
As Sarah got the camera up, they leaped off to go and get the bins, and I cursed them.
They leapt off saying, "That man's drowning.
That man's drowning. He's going to drown us."
Yeah. He's drowning in bin juice.
Delicious.
Oh, that'll be some way to go that. So Chris from California has been in touch. And I like the fact that this bin man phenomenon has reached all the way to the west coast of the United States. He says, "Hey guys, the chat around bin men and the treasures they may find led me to ask my stepfather, who was a garbage man for a few years out of high school, about his refuse collection history. I sent him a text asking if he'd ever found anything good that he kept. He replied saying that he found a nice camp stove that he used for years. I expressed my amazement and thanked him for sharing, to which he replied, without prompt, and tons of dirty mags. That was nice." Perks of the job, I suppose. Chris from California.
That was nice. Dirty mags.
It's funny, isn't it? I mean, I suppose you'd have to put your dirty mags in the recycling these days.
Have you ever had a collection of dirty... This is more my stuff. It's dying. Dirty
Get
mags.
Back into your wheelhouse.
Have you ever had to dispose of dirty mags? I have once. I had some dirty mags back in the days.
No, so the only real experience I've had with them, and this is going to sound like a cliche, but I promise you it's true, is near, not too far from where we grew up, there was a place, so there was Elson Park, and over the back of Elson Park was a place called Monk's Walk, which was an old, kind of disused... foresty kind of area. It's quite hard to explain because obviously where I grew up was on a peninsula, so there's all these different creeks that would kind of go into all these different places. So there'd be like a creek there and a forest called Monk's Walk. And in there you used to see porn mags all the time. Because around that part of the world there's a load of old disused air raid shelters.
Oh, right, perfect place.
Which are still
to enjoy.
Open.
Perfect place to enjoy.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you were a kid, you didn't kind of question it. Like, you go into an air raid shelter because it would be quite frightening because it's really fucking dark. and you never know what you're going to find in there. And normally you'd find like a human turd and a porn mag.
Yeah. But you didn't
think,
you didn't
question it.
Yeah, you didn't connect, what's that porn mag doing there? And then you're like, oh, I think I know. Because seeing the entity by itself, it's kind of, you don't think what that's used for and why it's there.
Why do you need to go out of your way into a little forest bit to have a quick shuffle off the wrist to a porn mag and leave the porn mag there?
Maybe you don't have a home. Well, I mean, soon, you know what consuming pornography is like. As soon as you're finished, you're like, I'm disgusting. The world is disgusting. I'm leaving now. And that never happened. And so very much so, like, that is the equivalent of closing your browser, isn't it?
Just leaving I just wouldn't put myself in that position. I'm standing in imagine how bleak shelter. That would be.
Yeah.
I'm standing in a pitch black air raid shelter.
Yeah.
And if it's
and Abraham runs in and goes, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
Oh, Abraham, do you want to look at my magazine? You shouldn't have told me his name.
Yeah, it'll come back. Yeah, exactly.
Rory, put Abraham in the episode title of this episode, please. Save me, Abraham. Oh, I am sympathetic, honestly. I just can't.
I know. It's funny. It's funny.
It's affectionate. It is affectionate. I'd have been very sad to lose you. And I'm as thankful to Abraham as everyone is.
Yes, I am too.
Anyway, let's go while you still have your scruples.
My scruples. All right then. Yes, we'll be back on Thursday, where we'll do some batteries and we'll deal with some of the crowning head of the Luca Pete Shaw email mountain that Rory's put together. Look after yourselves until then. All right, I've been Pete Donaldson. Still with you. Still kicking. Still
alive.
Stay away
from open water, everyone.
Stay away from open water. Lukey Moore, would you like to say goodbye to everybody?
Goodbye to everybody, and I'm as pleased as you all are that Pete's still with us. I really am.
And yeah, good. Me too. Glad I'm here. I didn't see another pair. Goodbye.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
If you enjoyed that episode, subscribe to The Luke and Pete Show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And look out for brand new episodes of Eureka coming soon.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.